Aren't you glad God's love lifted you? Amen. And I thank the Lord for that. Well, let's get in our Bibles tonight. We're going to go to Luke chapter 4 here tonight. Luke chapter 4. All right, y'all hear that? Luke 4. Because I'm about to confuse you. Luke 4. But I'm preaching on when Jesus preached on Isaiah 61. But you go to Luke 4, okay? When Jesus preached on Isaiah 61 is the message. But Luke 4 is our text where Jesus preached and he quoted Isaiah 61. That's what I'm talking about, all right? Luke chapter 4, if you go down to just look at verse 1 when you get there, and then I'll jump from there. Pages are still turning. Page 1076 in your Scofield Bible, if you got that. Amen. All right, chapter 4 of Luke, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. All right? You notice this is right after the baptism of the Lord. He got baptized, and then the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness. He spent 40 days, 40 nights fasting and praying, tempted of the devil, right? But he never sinned, amen? He overcame temptation, and now he helps us do it. But if you look down to verse 14, we'll pick up right there. After the baptism, after the temptations, verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now here's Isaiah 61, verse 1. Jesus read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Let's pray. Father God, and direct us and help us. We need your power tonight. Speak to our heart. Draw us to you. Teach us tonight, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll read some more verses in a little bit, but that sets the setting for us, all right? The Lord Jesus Christ, this is early in his ministry. Early on in his ministry, he's just been baptized. He's just been faced temptation of the devil. He overcame all of that. He's going around the region. He's going to the synagogues, and he's preaching, he's teaching, he's ministering. He's doing all of these things. He's doing miracles, traveling around. But then he returned to his hometown of Nazareth. And you notice it says there that he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. Okay, so he went to his hometown of Nazareth, but there was a problem. They discredited him. They demeaned him. They treated him like just the local boy. And they sort of listened to him. They gave him opportunity to listen to him. And a little bit later, they said, "This is just Joseph's kid, right? Isn't this Joseph's son? Well, who's he to preach to us? Who's he to talk to us? Who's he to, all this stuff?" They kind of demeaned him. And then they demanded miracles of him that they had heard about from other places, but they only wanted him to do miracles to prove to them that he could, because they doubted him. They doubted him, right? By the way, you know he only went to Nazareth one more time, and that's when the Bible says he could do no mighty works in Nazareth because of their unbelief. And Nazareth, they didn't get the blessings they could have had. Jesus grew up there, and they rejected him. You know, so when the Bible says he went into his own and his own received him not, that could apply to his hometown, as well as the Jewish nation as a whole in that regard. Now, let's look at a couple more verses, all right? If you will, let's look at verse 22. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? Now, you got a mixed reaction here. Some people are like, man, he grew up to be a very eloquent speaker. He grew up to be a very good speaker. They were impressed. But you know how it always is with the Lord. There were some that despised him, hated him, rejected him, refused to believe on him, and then there were others that would follow him, right? So you got a mixed reaction. Some were smart, and they said, boy, he speaks with gracious words. And then others demeaned and said, ain't this just Joseph's son? Now, verse 23. He said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. In other words, they said this. You're just like a physician that can heal everybody else and can't do nothing for himself. We've been hearing about you doing miracles everywhere else. Do a miracle here. But again, it was demeaning. He could have showed them miracles, but he knew their heart was against him. He knew it was doubt. He knew it was, they didn't want to, by the way, you know what, folks? The Lord wants you to believe his word. Believe his word, not just some grand miracle that you see. Now, the Lord used miracles to get people's attention. We know that. But more importantly, faith is in the Word of God. If you don't believe the Word of God, you've made God out to be a liar. Now, I don't want to call God a liar. Right? So, he wanted them to believe him and his Word. Now, he had just said something pretty big there. Basically, what he said was, hey, what I just read to you that Isaiah quoted about the Messiah, he applied it to himself. He said, that's me. Isaiah, in the Old Testament, hundreds of years ago, Jesus said he was talking about me. I'm the Messiah. Now, that stunned them. They just sat there kind of stunned at that point. But then before this sermon was over, they ran him out of town and tried to throw him off a cliff and kill him. And I'll get to that in a little bit, all right? But look at verse 24. What did he say in verse 24? And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. All right, so the Lord said, I know I'm from around here. Everybody knows me, you know. You know, sometimes, look, I pastored in my home church for 8.5 years, and it worked well. But I get what the Lord said. Some people are like, hey, I knew you as a kid. You know, I taught you in Sunday school, and now you're going to be my preacher. You were a bad little kid, you know, and you got all that to deal with, you know. I had one dear lady, she's in heaven now, but she was like a second mom to me, and it took her forever. She's like, I'm going to call you pastor, but I declare it's hard to do. And but she did it. She sure did. She called me pastor, and I got to preach her funeral and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, so I understand what he means there. It's almost easy to preach and minister to folks you don't know. It's almost, you know that, by the way. It's easier to talk to people other than your own family sometimes, right? You understand what he meant by that. But Nazareth missed out on some blessings because they dismissed Jesus as just a local kid, not as the Son of God. They couldn't comprehend it. They just couldn't get it. So they didn't understand it. Now, here's one thing. He went into the synagogue, the local synagogue. Now, is this working? Are y'all hearing me out there? All right. He went into the local synagogue. Now, what happened was ministers would come to the local synagogue and they would let them read scripture and speak. So seeing how Jesus had been going around the region preaching and they had heard about the miracles, whenever he came back and showed up at the synagogue, they gave him a chance. They gave him an opportunity. Now what it said was that they gave him the scroll. Now I don't know if they turned it to Isaiah or he turned it to Isaiah. It was just a scroll, not a book. Or whatever, it was of God that he read that particular passage, Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. He stood up, and they would stand up, and they'd read the scriptures, put the book down, and then they would sit on a stool, and they could make comments. Well, the Lord read it, made a comment, and said, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Equivalent, Isaiah was talking about me. I'm the Messiah. That's what he was claiming. And those religious Jews had a hard time understanding that. They're waiting on the Messiah, but they didn't believe he was it. And they didn't want to receive him, even though he was the promised one that Isaiah was talking about. Okay? And I'm spending a lot of time on my introduction. I got some points I need to get to. But he applied it to himself correctly, sir. So that's why I titled it the way I said, When Jesus Preached from Isaiah 61. In his hometown, but some people will receive your witness, some people won't. Some people will say, don't talk to me about God. I don't want to hear it no more. And some people will say, yes, I want to hear more. And that's a good heart right there. Amen. That says, yes, I want to hear the gospel. Yes, I want to learn more about God. So Jesus was getting both reactions, but primarily in his hometown, he got the worst reaction. And they would, like I say, before the sermon was over, they carried him out in the city and tried to kill him. I'll read those verses later. Let's make a few points from this today. All right. I just want to make three or four points. And we'll explain the passage as we go. All right, number one, I want to say this to you. Number one, Jesus worked in Holy Spirit power. I read verse 1 where, you know, at his baptism, the Holy Spirit came upon him. Verse 1 says he was full of the Holy Ghost. And then it says he was led by the Spirit. And then verse 14 says he returned in the power of the Spirit. Jesus Christ operated in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, you know the Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Yet Jesus, being God, took on human flesh, became a man, and operated on this earth in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what he was doing? Showing you how to live the Christian life. Because it's not our power, it's the power that's in us. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know when you get saved and you say, Lord Jesus, forgive me my sin. Come into my heart, save me. Come into my heart and life. He does, literally. He comes in the person of the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit of Christ that comes in and enables you, empowers you. He doesn't say, okay, do the best you can. He says, no, I'm going to give you a Bible. I'm going to give you prayer. I'm going to give you church. And I'm going to give you my indwelling spirit with you. And I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. God is with you all the time if you're saved and you're a child of God. God's always with you all the time. Aren't you glad about that? The Lord's always there with you. I don't want to go through life without Him. I'm glad we've got the Lord. But I'm saying this, Jesus worked in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now look, the pattern was he was baptized, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he was attacked by the devil. Does that sound familiar? Same pattern you go on. You get saved, you get baptized, you get attacked by the devil because he's mad at you for getting saved and accepting Christ and getting off of his team and onto God's team. You then overcome temptation and you get busy serving God in his work. Jesus did all of that as a pattern for you and me. So we do all of that now. What? Jesus didn't have to be baptized. He did it as an example for us. He did it to identify with us. He tells us to get saved and then get baptized. It's how we live the Christian life. You know, the Bible says salvation is of the Lord. He saves and he enables. This text, Jesus said that the Spirit hath anointed me. Anointed means enabled. I had people years ago, I was witnessing as a young man, and guys were asking me, how do you do it? How do you get saved? Well, you trust Jesus Christ, your Savior, by faith. Yeah, but how do you live it? I can't live that life. And they were saying all kind of, vulgar things. And, you know, I do this and I do that and I can't stop doing this and that. And I thought, oh, yes, you can. If the Lord comes into your life, He's gonna give you new desires. He's going to give you victory over sin. He's going to help you deal with temptation. But it's not going to be you and it's not me. It's the Lord's help that does that, right? You've got the anointing, too, in the sense that you've got the enabling yourself. So the Bible points out to us. Jesus worked in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, oftentimes people say, well, the Bible, listen, people say, well, the Bible says Holy Ghost. And y'all say Holy Spirit. Why do y'all say Holy Spirit? I've often heard it said, well, We use the term Holy Spirit because, you know, especially for kids, it doesn't sound so scary and we kind of understand it better. I don't know if that's a good answer or not. But I'll tell you this, I notice in this passage right here, Luke used Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit interchangeably. I feel pretty good. I do the same thing. Amen? It's the same person. Don't get caught up on the terminology. It's the Holy Ghost, it's the Holy Spirit, the same person, right? And He will comfort you, help you, guide you, empower you, enable you, teach you the Scriptures. Amen? When you get saved, the Lord moves in the person, the Holy Spirit, and He will help you live the Christian life. The Bible tells us to be filled with the Spirit. It's not our power. We get saved, and every day we pray and we lean on the Lord to help us do the right thing, to help us live the Christian life. He didn't say, do it the best you can. He said, here's a Bible, here's my Word, here's prayer, here's the church, here's the Holy Spirit, my Spirit, to comfort you, guide you, help you. Amen, right? Jesus operated in the power of the Holy Spirit because that's how you were going to have to do it in your Christian life as well. Amen? All right, Jesus worked in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me say this number two. Jesus went to church faithfully. It's in verse 16. What did he say? Verse 16, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. Notice this. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He was in the habit of going to church. Y'all good with that right there? I know I'm preaching to the Wednesday night crowd, but I want to tell you something. Between the example of the Lord, the example of the early church, and Hebrews 10:25 that says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, I think we ought to be going to church. Amen? Right? I think we ought to be going to church. I think it's pretty obvious. You know what? I believe this, folks. I believe all the services would be filled up, including the Sunday night and Wednesday night services, if people had a hunger to know the Word of God and to know Him better. I think more churches would be holding church on Sunday night and Wednesday night if people had a hunger to learn more about God. Don't y'all? I know y'all agree because y'all are here on Wednesday night. Amen, right? 100 folks come on Sunday morning and half that comes back on Sunday night and then a little bit less than that comes back on Wednesday night. It's true in every church. It's always been that way. And it's gotten to the point that a lot of churches now are saying we don't even bother with Sunday night or Wednesday night. Hey, I'm just going to say this. If it was a habit of the Lord and it was good enough for Him, it's good enough for me to make going to church my habit. Amen? To put the church schedule in my schedule to go worship with the people of God. Amen. Y'all with me tonight? Amen? All right. It's in the text. These are side points tonight. Amen. I got to get these two. He worked in the power of the Spirit. He went to church faithfully. Number three, Jesus confirmed Old Testament prophecy. Now, what I mean by that, Jesus took Isaiah from hundreds of years earlier. That's the only Bible they had back then, by the way. They didn't have the New Testament. It wasn't written yet. He took the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, and he confirmed that what Isaiah promised was happening in their eyes that day. Jesus was sent from heaven. He was the one Isaiah and the other prophets were talking about. Jesus quoted Old Testament prophecy. Jesus validated Old Testament prophecy. Jesus fulfilled Old Testament prophecy. And He did it right here on this occasion as He preached from Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, and He laid out to them His purpose for coming to the earth. Y'all still with me? He said, I came for evangelism. Because He said in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Okay, there it is again. Because He hath anointed me, that is enabled and empowered me, to do what? To preach the gospel to the poor. Now look, the gospel's for the rich as well. The gospel's for anybody that will believe it. Truth of the matter is, poor people are more inclined to say, yeah, I need God's help. And the Lord said Himself, oftentimes people with riches are like, hey, I'm good, I'm fine. But people who know they need help will look up to God. Amen. Hey, when you're on hard times, it's not real hard to say, God, if you're up there, I need some help. Amen. Now, you know he's up there, but you know what I'm saying. He said, evangelism is the reason I'm here, to preach the gospel, the soul-saving message. I'm to tell people that they can be saved from their sins, they can be saved from hell, and they can have a home in heaven once I forgive them. Right? He came for evangelism. He came for encouragement. Look at that verse. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Sin breaks hearts and ruins lives. Jesus puts them back together. Amen? He came to encourage people. He also came for enlightenment. He said he sent me to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind. Hey, he healed a lot of blind people. He said, but here's the thing, spiritually, people, the Bible says, their minds are blinded by the devil lest they see the light of the gospel. Jesus takes the blinders off and shows them, you're a sinner, you need salvation, you need forgiveness, and I'm the one to give it to you. And they can see clearly and say, yes, Lord, I want you as my Savior. You died on the cross for me. Thank you for doing so. And I want to receive you as my Savior. And he sets people free from their bondage and from their vices and from the terrible sins that have gripped their lives. He sets them free from the grip of the devil, who is nobody's friend, by the way. The devil is real too, right? God's real, the devil's real. God's for you, the devil's against you. The devil's already got you. He's got you, a lost person, tearing them to hell. And the Lord takes them out of the grips of the devil and saves them and puts them on the road to heaven. Amen? He said, I came to set people free, and he came to give edification. He went on to talk about to set at liberty them that are bruised. Again, in the grips of the devil, he set you free. Are you glad he set you free tonight? Are you glad he forgave you of your sin? Are you glad he gave you what you need to overcome temptation? Hey, we still sin. We still stumble. We know that, but we're forgiven sinners now. Amen? And by the grace of God, we know that we're on our way to heaven. All right, now look at verse 21. Verse 19. And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, what he was talking about there was their year of Jubilee, is what it was. Their year of Jubilee. What is Jubilee means 50. The acceptable year of the Lord was the year of Jubilee. You know what happened every 50 years? They set captives free and they canceled debts. Amen. I'm ready for my 50 years, right? I'm ready for my Jubilee. Amen. All right. So, but you know what Jesus was saying with that? My ministry will be like that all the time. Setting the captive free, canceling the debt of sin, forgiving and pardoning the sinner so that we can go to heaven. Amen. He said, my ministry is going to be like that all the time. So Jesus was the fulfillment. That is, again, a quote of chapter 61, verse 2 in Isaiah. He didn't quote the whole verse right there. Let me look at it real quick. Verse 2 says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's talking about His first coming, which was happening right then. This part he didn't quote. And the day of vengeance of our God. That's the second coming. All he was dealing with at that point was his first coming. Jesus was saying what the prophets have said about the first coming. We celebrate it every Christmas, amen, the coming of the Lord. First coming. And then there's going to be a second coming. Jesus is coming again one day, amen. We know this because the Bible says it. And the prophets talked about both of those things. And if all the prophecies about the first coming, Christmas, have been fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ, I don't have any doubts about the second part being fulfilled as well. You know what, folks? You ought to let fulfilled prophecy encourage your heart. This Bible, hundreds of years earlier, told us about the Messiah was coming. He'd be born in Bethlehem, right? He'd be from Nazareth, but born in Bethlehem. Everything that the Bible says about the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ fulfilled it in His lifetime, from His birth on. Fulfilled prophecy encourages my heart. It validates the Bible. That the Bible, this is the Word of God right here. Amen? This is the Word of God. And it's true.
The devil's a liar. God's true. Amen? All right. So, what did he do? He operated in the power of the Holy Spirit. He went to church faithfully. Practical points for us. He confirmed prophecy within himself. And then number four, Jesus preaching upset some people. Now, some of them got upset and said, isn't this just Joseph's boy? He grew up in the carpenter shop, right? Why is he telling us he's the Son of God? Why is he telling us he's the Messiah? Why is this kid talking like that? I mean, he grew up, now what in the world happened to him? Did he lose his mind or what? What's going on? Why does he think this? They're demeaning him. And that's why he made that comment about a prophet is not without honor in his own country. All right? Let's pick up the reading in verse 25, just a few more verses. He gave them two examples. He said, but I'll tell you the truth. Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias. That's actually the prophet Elijah. When the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when the great famine was throughout the land, but unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto a Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. So he taught, y'all know the story in the Old Testament about Elijah and the widow lady, okay? Guess what? The widow lady wasn't a Jew, she was a Gentile. He said, oh, there was a lot of widows, but there was one. Elijah helped, a Gentile. You say, why is that important? Because these Jews had racial hatred towards non-Jews, Gentiles. Okay? He gives another example in verse 27. Verse 27, he said, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Lysias, which is Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. Now, here's the deal. You know, the Lord just said, a lot of Gentiles believe the men of God, but y'all won't believe me. Gentiles believe the prophets Elijah and Elisha, but y'all won't believe me, the Son of God. That didn't set well with them. You know what Jesus just said? He said, some Gentiles have greater faith than you people. What are you talking about, faith? We're the people of God. We're the Jews. We're religious. He said, they believed Elijah. They believed Elisha, these two particular ones. He said, there's a whole lot of other widows and lepers, but these two Gentiles believed the man of God. Y'all are rejecting me, the Son of God. You say, what's the big deal? I'm telling you, their culture. The Good Samaritan, anytime Jesus elevated a Gentile as an example, boy, their prejudice couldn't stand it. You say, was it really that big of a deal? Look at verse 28. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him into the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they may cast him down headlong. They're about to throw him off the cliff. Yeah, they didn't like what he said at all. Verse 30, but he passing through the midst of them went his way. I think it was a miracle he got away. You know why? Because that wasn't the time for Jesus to die, and that wasn't the method of which Jesus would die. Jesus was going to the cross to pay for your sins and mine in the timing of God the Father. Amen? Now, I know that's saying a lot, but I'm telling you, that right there, the straw that broke the camel's back, that was it whenever he exalted Gentiles. You know, all he was saying was, all you got to do is believe me, folks. Gentiles don't have a problem believing the Word of God. Why do you? Why are you rejecting me? Why are you treating me like this? Why won't you listen to me? Why won't you accept me? Why won't you receive me? Why won't you get saved, so to speak? And because they were religious, they thought they didn't need him. They didn't realize they were shunning the Son of God, the promised Messiah that they had been looking for. And He pointed it out to them that I'm Him. When Jesus preached from Isaiah 61, He almost got thrown off the cliff in His hometown. I'm glad I've never had that reception to a sermon. Amen? I know we're Snow Hill. I don't know where a cliff is. I hope you don't find one. Amen? And get that angry to cast the preacher out because he said something you didn't like. That's all it was. Folks, I'm telling you, when the gospel goes forth, you're a sinner. Don't call me a sinner. Oh, we're all sinners. We're all sinners. We all got to realize we're a sinner. There's a penalty upon our sin, and that's death in a place called hell. Oh, but here's the good news. Jesus Christ left heaven, came down as a man, born of a virgin, no sin in His bones, no sin in His blood. He lived a perfect life. He went to a cross. He died for your sins and died in your place. And 3 days later, He resurrected, went back up into heaven, and now He's up there praying for you and hoping you'll call on Him and He'll forgive you and save you and prepare a place for you up there in heaven. Amen? Now, here's the thing. Will you believe Him or not? We see these examples in the Bible over and over and over again of people that believe Him and people that reject Him. People that were receiving by faith and people that were refusing. I already told you, He went back to Nazareth, His hometown, one more time, and the Bible says He could do no mighty miracles there because of their unbelief. You know what the worst sin in the world is? Unbelief. The Bible says we're condemned already because of unbelief. What do you mean by that? God, I don't believe you. I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe creation. I'll accept evolution or anything else over the Word of God. I don't believe you. I think I can get to heaven all by myself. I think I can be a good person and get there on my own when the Bible says I'm a sinner that needs God's forgiveness. Guess what I'm going to do, God? And I think I know what you're going to do. You're going to believe Jesus. You're going to believe the gospel. You're going to believe the good news of salvation. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of folks that are saying no to Jesus. Even religious people. They want to do it their own way in their own pride. He preached the truth to them, and it was not appreciated. And Nazareth was never blessed. They forfeited the blessings they could have had through unbelief. And that's what anybody does that rejects Jesus as their Savior. I was basically saying, I'll pay for my own sins in hell forever instead of letting you pay for them on the cross. You forfeited your blessings, right? So I guess the question is, what will you and I do with Jesus and His Word? What will you do with Jesus and the gospel, the Word of God? I'm going to believe it. I'm going to trust Him as my Savior. Amen. I'm going to thank Him for dying on the cross for my sins. Amen. I don't want to say no to one that loved me enough to come from heaven and live on this earth and die on a cross to save my soul. Amen. So many. When Jesus preached from Isaiah 61, He about got thrown off a cliff. I'm not doing that. I want to receive Him. Amen. And I hope you will as well. Let's bow our heads tonight, please. Our heads are bowed. Just I know there's a lot in there. We talked about a lot of stuff right there, but listen. What will you do with Jesus and the gospel? Will you believe Him? Will you receive Him? Will you accept Him? Will you let Him be your Savior? I hope you will, even tonight. Love Him because He first. The Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. He loved you enough to die for you. Amen. Thank God for it. Dear Father, speak to our hearts. Encourage us tonight. Strengthen us with fulfilled prophecy. Strengthen us in our resolve to live for You and serve You and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, whatever the needs are tonight, I pray You'd meet them here tonight. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother, come on and lead us in a song before we have prayer time.
Amen. Let's stand. Let's stand, and we're going to turn to 596, Victory in Jesus. 596. 596. 596. You are welcome. 596, Victory in Jesus. We're just going to sing the first verse. Just the first verse. I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Thank you to those who watched us by live stream tonight, and I appreciate you tuning in with us tonight, and everybody who's here. I hope you get